This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a three-time champion, check out my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Paul Hamilton.
That's what they called me in college. It's the bone.
He has the facts to back up his opinions.
People ask me, well, how are the Sabres going to win tonight? I don't have a clue.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Two straight wins for the Sabres. They had a good stretch going to the Four Nations break. And they rallied to beat Anaheim last night, 3-2. And Paul Hamilton joins us. His appearance brought to you by Relax Honda. Relax, we got this. Good morning, Paul.
Morning. Second time in this year they did that. Got behind 2-0 against the Ducks and beat them 3-2.
Okay, that happened in Anaheim, too, huh?
Anaheim, yeah. It was Kulik scoring the overtime winner in that one.
That's
right.
But
they had gotten behind 2-0 in that game also.
Well, they got behind 2-0, Paul, and ultimately win the game. They were not playing poorly, though, to get to that 2-0 deficit. I mean, there's a couple power play goals, but even strength, I mean, it felt like the Sabres were maybe getting goal lead on both ends of the ice.
Goal lead more maybe in the third period. The first period, they hit three posts. They missed the net. They were 10:55 into the game. They had missed the net 9 times. And by the time the period was over, they missed the net 12 times. I mean, they were absolutely just all over them. Once they got through that 5-on-3, and I don't know what the referee saw on Dahlin on a penalty there, I didn't see anything even close to a penalty, which made it a 5-on-3. And they score on that, and then the Sabres just hit high gear after that. You look up, all of a sudden the shots were 7-2 Buffalo. They were just skating. They were playing like they did Saturday. They were just all over them, and they just couldn't get the puck into the net. And there were some good saves there, too, but you know, they were almost their own worst enemy, missing the net as much as they did and hitting the post 3 times. But then they get to the second period, and Lindy Ruff said they thought it was going to be easy. And, you know, you think about it, they played like that. They just did not have a good second period at all, and that's when it became 2-0. Mm-hmm. And then they got to the third period, which might have even been better than the first period. I mean, they had 18 shots, and just again, Lindy Ruff decided to go back to the lines he had a while back. And right away, I mean, Tuck goes around the left wing. He's out there with Thompson and Greenway and finds Thompson streaking down the center of the ice. That was a great save. And then the Cousins line comes on with Peterka and Quinn. They score the first shift there on the ice. And they go from there. Cousins, you know, winds up with 3 assists in the period. He had 7 hits. I mean, it was just, you know, it reminded you of a couple of years ago the way he played.
Man, there was a shift, Paul, in that third. I don't even know if they scored on it. Maybe it was right before the second goal, the Tuck goal. Dahlin's out there. Byram's out there. I think maybe it was the Cousins line. Like, the Ducks just could not. It looked like the Globetrotters for at least a couple of minutes there in the third period.
Byram especially. I mean, he had come in from the right point, cut through the circle, got himself open in front. That was a good save. And less than, I'd say, 20 seconds later, he came in from the left side, and they missed the net on that one. And, you know, it was just relentless pressure.
Yeah, that defense pairing, by the way, like when you're watching them at top gear, like I can't remember the last time the Sabres have had a defense pair where they can have two defensemen when they're both playing well like that. Just you can't take the puck from them, and they're gonna create chances even on their own.
Yeah, they were able. It's not easy, and it doesn't get done very much to get a hockey trade at the trade deadline, and Adams did that last year. I think it was a day or two before the trade deadline, and he winds up with a hockey trade, which it turns out to be a very good trade for the Buffalo Sabres, and right now not a very good trade for Colorado. You know, Colorado has not been happy with Mittelstadt this year, and except for that he had a hot start. But since then, it's just not gone well at all. And
there's trade rumors, I think, about Mittelstadt now going into the deadline.
And well, the trade rumors are a Byram too. But I think the Sabres would rather they sign him, and you know, we'll see what happens with that.
Paul, on Byram signing him, I mean, they would have reason to be gun shy here, and you almost might wonder if they would take a chance. All right, fine, we'll bring him back on a 1-year RFA deal, try to get good, be in the playoffs, and maybe that's going to be what convinces him next year at this time or something like that, because it is it's not exactly an easy kind of line to walk here if you're Kevin Adams or the Sabres on what to do in terms of how much he wants, what kind of commitments you've already made. I was saying to Joe earlier, I feel like if you're going to lock into Byram and maybe also want to extend Greenway and Zucker, then you got to get rid of some other guys because they already have a lot of guys under contract, and you know, you want to have some room to move around.
Yeah, but I mean, the NHL put out some figures. I mean, the salary cap could be over $100 million in 3 years. You know, which you know would help the Sabres out a little bit with that. So if they indeed don't have a self-imposed budget by Terry Pegula, which Adam says they don't, there are a lot of people who feel they do. But, you know, the cap is going up significantly, which means revenues have been very good for the league. And, you know, that would help significantly in that area if they wanted to do that. And, you know, I did ask Byram about it a little less than a month ago, probably, and, you know, he was very noncommittal. He just said, look, you know, it's not really something I'm thinking about now. It's not something that I've even talked with my family about. So he said, you know, when the time is right, he'll sit down with his agent and his family and decide what they want to do one way or the other. He has said that he does like it here, but, you know, he didn't say he wants to sign. He didn't say he didn't. He just said it really hasn't been talked about, and he really hasn't given it much thought yet because he hasn't had to. And, you know, when the time's right, he'll sit down with his agent and his family and discuss it.
Paul, the line combinations kind of coming together and working in the third period last night, did some of that have to do with Kulik also being – was it injured or what would you even call it? Like, but he was wearing that mask, I know, and didn't see a ton of ice time.
He got a puck in the face. He was wide open. It was kind of unfortunate that – Dostal got his stick on the puck and launched it. The puck was coming across, and he was wide open. I mean, Thompson had just gone in on a breakaway, but he couldn't quite pull away, so he couldn't quite get the shot off. Dostal knocked it off his stick, and then he kept going with it, and he went to the corner, got the puck, had Kulik wide open off the side of the net, got the pass across, and it hit Dostal's stick and went up, and the puck hit him right in the mouth. So that he, you know, got some repairs for that, came back, had a full shield on, and Lindy Ruff said he was having trouble breathing. So he pulled his ice time way back after that. So that was part of it. He did play. I mean, it didn't like he didn't leave the game again, but Lindy thought, you know, he's hurting, he can't breathe. You know, let's kind of switch the lines around a little bit. And what he did is went back to what they used to be. You know, Thompson centering Tuck, and sometimes they had Greenway, and Cousins centering Paterka and Quinn. That was a line for a long, long time. And you could tell, I mean, by going back to that, there was familiarity right off the bat. You know, they knew what they were doing, and you saw chemistry right off the bat because these are lines that have played many times together before.
Paul Hamilton with us on the Western Hotline. So Carolina is next, and then it's a couple of teams that are a little further down the standings, Montreal and then San Jose. Do you the first two games out of this break, I mean, if anyone was wondering, like, okay, can they even put a run together to make it interesting, especially before the trade deadline, let alone the season. Not just getting the result, but they've played like they could go on a little bit of a run here.
Well, I'm kind of following the Lindy Ruff formula that he has laid down for his team of five-game segments. So they're 2-0 in this five-game segment. He wants 7 out of 10 points every five games, which is 3-1-1. Right now they're 2-0 in this five-game segment with games coming up against Carolina and 2 against Montreal. And that will end the five-game segment. So in order to accomplish what he wants, they need to go 1-1-1 in those games to go forward. And I think what helped when he laid that down is they already had a five-game segment going into the break of 4-1. So he could use that as an example. It's like, all right, you've already done it. I mean, and if we're going to do it, this is what we're going to have to do. One thing was cut 0.4 to 0.5 off the goals against in two games. That's happened. They've given up 2 goals in both games. So, you know, they've been able to do that. They have not improved their special teams, which they need to do. I mean, the Ducks did come in with the worst power play in the NHL. Now, that 5-on-3, I just don't think should have been a 5-on-3. I just don't know what the referee saw on the second penalty to Dahlin. I did not see a penalty anywhere there in the replay. And that gives you a 107 two-man advantage because they call that phantom penalty. Greenway, yeah. I understand that, you know, it's a bad penalty. Greenway comes charging in and knocks. I don't have a huge problem with it, if you want to be totally honest, because he came charging in and was trying to be tough in front of the net. And, you know, they had guys at the net, and they were being tough in that game. It was, you know, a game that looked like against a rival team. But they were always up for the scrums, and they were always in there as a group of five. And, you know, they wind up getting in a couple of fights, and, you know, Matthias Samuelsson got the message loud and clear. I mean, he was involved in at least 2 or 3 scrums where, you know, he was involved, not just standing there pushing. He was involved. And they were and look at what they've done for 5 of the last 6 periods. They've been around the net almost the whole time, no perimeter play, and being tough around the net and being tough in battles. I mean, it's. I know they're 7-3 in their last 10. I know we talked about it before. Since the 13-game winless streak, they've played very well in those 22 games. Now a points percentage of over 600 with this win, and I get all that. But now they're doing it with fast physical play, which is something what we hadn't seen. Cousins 7 hits, Greenway 6 hits, and I don't really even care if they're hits. I want to see physical battles. That's what I want to see, and that's what we are seeing. And that doesn't necessarily mean you're putting somebody through the back wall. That means you're in the battle, and you're physical in that battle, using your strength, using your body to win puck battles, and they're doing that the last couple of games.
Paul, we are 9 days from the NHL trade deadline, a week from Friday, and, you know, in years past, we might wonder if this kind of play, this streak or run or whatever you want to call it, could convince them to be buyers. And I don't really think Kevin Adams should be swayed one way or the other. I don't know what there is to sell. I don't know what, you know, picks, prospects. It's a currency I'm not really all that interested in right now. So if it's a hockey trade, I'll listen to it. Past that, I don't think that the GM should be worried about the standings and should be worried about, you know, what can I get, seconds and thirds and fifths and buyers and sellers and, you know, these kind of binary conversations. You feel like that's the right place for Adams to be?
Absolutely, especially in the cases of Greenway and Zucker. You're looking for veteran leadership, and people have been talking about trading Tuck. And I don't understand why you would want to do that, because he's the type of player you're actually looking to add to get more of that type of player. They don't have enough veteran leadership in their top six to help the youngsters that they have. It's too much towards the youngsters. and you're looking for basically a guy like Alex Tuch.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I thought, well, you need more than just Alex. You need somebody to help Alex Tuch in that leadership role. Not trade away Alex Tuch, so now you got to go find two of them.
But the reality is, if you get rid of Alex Tuch, the Sabres can't exactly find 29-year-old top-line wingers that will just sign here for $5 million. It just doesn't happen.
Right.
And it's going to score you 20 to 30 goals and is a good two-way player, one of the best players you're going to see at, causing turnovers, swiping the puck, coming up, and then turning that into offense right away when he does that. Zucker and Greenway. Greenway has a skill set that nobody else on this team has, and has had two very good games since coming back from injury. And again, I'm more interested in finding a way to re-sign him as an unrestricted free agent coming up than I am in trading him. And even if you haven't re-signed him yet, I would still keep him unless he has said absolutely bluntly, those two players, we are not re-signing. There is no way you're going to re-sign us. All right, if you want to trade him, trade him. But I would keep, even though they have not signed contracts at the deadline, I would still keep them and continue negotiating with them.
Would that change for you if someone offered a first-round pick for him?
For Greenway?
No, for Zucker. Like, if you didn't know for sure he wasn't going to sign yet, but somebody... Because there have been some of these... I remember Barclay Goodrow, like, 2 years ago. Like, there have been some players at the deadline recently that have gone for a first where you're like, oh, wow, like, a first-round pick. So, if you didn't know for sure one way or another what Zucker was going to do, but someone offered you that, does that change it for you at all?
I don't think so in this case. It would any other year I've probably been talking about because... I've always said, get what you can get. If you're Reinhart and Eichel both said they want, Eichel wanted out, and Reinhart said, I'm not re-signing. Now, Eichel had a contract, but he did them the favor of saying, I'll play the one more year that I owe you, and I'm not re-signing. And that's simple as that. I mean, he felt disrespected by the Buffalo Sabres organization because they had never offered him and three different GMs a long-term contract. He felt he earned it, and he's not wrong. He had earned it. He was a very good player here and should have been offered one and never was. So I get it. I understand why he felt that way. In all those cases, I thought, get the draft pick. But as Jeremy already pointed out, I think it's different now. They have so many young players, good young players, but they don't have enough roster spots to play them all. They can't all make the Buffalo Sabres. They got too many of them. So I don't really see the need to add to that. I think they need to use some of this as currency to get the types of players that they need. So in this case, and probably it's the first time I've said this, I'd say no, I don't think that would deter me unless he has said absolutely I'm not coming back.
Paul Hamilton on the Westro Hotline. Thank you, Paul.
Take care, guys.
We'll talk again. 10 straight, Paul. Lindy's got his plan, I got mine. 10 straight.
is Rob's plan, by the way, to never come out of that 300 level C? Because it seemed like he was in heaven last night.
I could not hear him, but I could see it, of course. Yeah. And it was just hilarious. And Martin Barone brings him a hot dog and a Coke. So you got Marty delivering you food. And then we have some very, very nice people who bring food and in the press box and take care of us very well. And they had some chicken and waffles.
They had like special food items.
Right, special food.
They brought him that. They brought him the hot dog. I mean, really, they could just make it Rob's food corner up there.
Well, that was the food we had in the press box. And I said to Crystal, I said, well, because she was laughing. Because she had just realized Rob was up there. I showed her he was up there, and I said, Rob would love some of this food here, you know. So there were like three trays, so she combined one, and then she grabs the tray and she goes, oh, we got to give him how much he would he eat, like how much chicken should we give him? I said, you give him the rest of it and he would eat it. You give him 9 pieces if you want to. I said, he'll eat anything. So he got some the waffles and the chicken, and I did talk to him later. He said it was excellent. It was very good. So she went up there with the tray and handed him that. And so, yeah, it was exactly Rob's food corner. It was
listen
Paul,
you guys got to hear it at least. I'm sure it was hilarious.
Well, some people didn't like hearing it. There was a lot of chewing going on. Paul. It's okay. It's okay. Listen, the Sabres might have stumbled on their latest package. It's the Rob Ray ticket package. You just go up there and they just keep bringing you food.
Yeah.
You know, how much can you eat? Let's do it.
I'm totally into this.
All right. Thank you, Paul.
Take care, guys.
Ovechkin scored last night.
Yes.
I was just looking at Ovechkin.
One-timer on the power play from his office.
Yeah. Which Close was his office. 30th goal of the year.
It's insane.
He has how many 30-goal seasons? How many 30-goal seasons does Alexander Ovechkin have?
Well, I think it's every year of his career. I think it's every year of his career. So does he have 18?
19.
19?
This is number 19.
Do you have it open? Is it every year?
No. It's not every year because he has 20 goal seasons. I was trying to figure out. Yes, there are.
Oh, so there must be one year.
One year where he might have got 29. I'll pull up his career stats.
Probably
here.
One of those lockout years, right?
But if you go to the NHL's website, NHL records.
Here you go. I got it. Yeah, he scored 24 goals in 45 games the year that the season was cut off due to COVID.
Which is too bad because that could have been a 60-goal season. If you sort by the tens, Ovechkin has tied for the most 50. He is owner of the most 40, owner of the most 30. He does not have the most 20-goal seasons, and this might be a fun bet. Would this season now count? It must count right now, is it?
Yeah.
It's got to be active. Yeah, okay. So
yeah, it must be. Yeah. Assuming it's updated from last night.
He has 20-goal seasons in 20 seasons. And the record is Gordie Howe, who has 22 20-goal seasons in 26 seasons. Ovechkin is now 12 away from breaking the record, 11 away from tying Gretzky.
Yeah.
Once we get in single digits, we're on a watch every night.
I think I saw, too, that he is one of two players now at 39 or older to score 30 goals. And yeah, Howe is the other one.
Okay.
Howe scored 39 at... Oh, I know what it is. In your age 39 season, this is what it is. Most goals in your age 39 season. Gordie Howe, most all-time, 39. Alex Ovechkin, second all-time, 30. And he's on pace to blow by that. He broke his leg, or broke his fibula.
This year.
2.5 months ago.
Yeah.
And he's nuts. On a 50-goal pace, 60-goal pace. He's not even like this, you know, new age, the athlete playing longer than ever before because of sports science and taking care of your body. Tom Brady doesn't eat strawberries. LeBron spends $1 million a year on his body. There's the NBA documentary. The things LeBron does to stay in shape are just insane. Ovechkin's just like, he just shows up, right?
He does.
He's aged. He does not age like a fine wine. I mean, he has with his game, but like
he looks older than those other guys.
He definitely looks older than those other guys.
But he can play. He can still play.
Isn't hockey too the sport where you don't have to go crazy, right?
I don't know.
I mean, Jágr played till 50.
The Great Chase. There's a logo and everything. NHL.com, and they're also putting it up on the broadcast, like a little logo in the corner when he scores, the Great Chase, and the counter goes down from 12 goals to go.
The sports books now, you can bet on which game he's going to break the record in. Let me see if the Sabres are up for that, because they play in 14 games now, 14 Capitals games away.
Yeah.
And he scored. So if he scores at a goal per game, like he's going to put himself right on track.
That game is in Washington, right?
And that game is in Washington. Yeah. It's surrounded by four road games, so like they'd want it there.
Yeah,
they'd love to have it there.
803-0550. Sabres win two in a row. Good for them. A lot of work still to do. They'll play Carolina on Thursday. When we return, the Shakir contract. A little more on that. You know what it all means for the offense and what the next step should be for the Bills. What do you want next? I think Shakir is a very popular extension. What do you want next? 803-0550, Jeremy and Show on WGR.